2 Kings chapter 2, verse 7. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Bible says, 50 men of the company of the prophets, we're going to come back to that in a second, went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. That's a pretty good trick when you don't got a bridge. Amen? When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "If you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. And Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord?" All caps there. "Where now is Jehovah, the God of Elijah?" And when he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. And the company of the prophets of Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him, and they bowed to the ground before him. Lord, we come to you this morning, knowing that you are mighty and awesome, knowing that you are our baptizer, Lord, that you hung on a cross, Lord, that you paid for our sins, Lord. But there is more yet to come, Lord, that you guide us and direct us, Lord, through the challenges of our lives, Lord, that we might truly shine, that we might have a witness and a testimony for you, Lord, that there might be a word that would go out, that God yet lives, that he lives in his people, and they are transformed by his spirit, and his spirit moves among us in power and in might, Lord, that you would move among us, Lord, that we would see you do mighty things through us, in us, Lord. We would see things change, Lord, because of the presence of your spirit. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Elisha was Elijah's assistant. He followed him in ministry. He said, "What do you want?" And he said, "I want a double portion of your spirit. God called me to the ministry some 23 years ago. Saved late, saved hard. Thinking about my rebirth day about 25 years ago, saved early in my life, and I was called to the ministry, and I heard of this thing called Pentecost, and I did not know what it was. I heard of this thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in which we are endued with power from on high. When I was saved, I said, 'Lord, I will serve you with my whole life. Just don't send me to some boring white middle-class church.' And he has never sent me there. We went to Mexico. We went to downtown Sacramento, and we have been down here. We have been on the forefront of the battle. And as I heard of this power from on high, I said, I want to get some of that. I need some of that." You say, "Well, you're a pro. Of course you need that." Pentecost is for more than pros, folks. We are in a series called Finding Fire. Pentecost 2014 is next Sunday. We have been laying the foundation for that for the past month, and we'll be focusing on the work of the Spirit and the life of the believer for the coming month through June. This is a study of the supernatural infusion of God into the life of the believer. My question for you this morning is, do you want to be infused? Do you want to be equipped? Do you want God to come in and change your life? Because some people just say, not really. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you want some guacamole on the side. Yeah, a little on the side. We feel like God is like that in our lives. I got my life okay, and I'll put a little God on the side. But I don't really want him changing everything. I am okay the way I am. We start hearing about the supernatural power of God. We hear about God doing supernatural things in the lives of people, and we can get a little bit uncomfortable with that. I don't know about that. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said, well, what kind of church do you have? I said, well, it's kind of like Pentecostal light. I go, we're Pentecostal, but we don't have any scratch marks on our walls. And he chuckled a little bit. You know, so we can get a little bit uncomfortable because we just don't like to be stretched that much. Maybe we can be a little bit confused by what the Holy Spirit would truly do in us. And I'll tell you, confused or uncomfortable, it is what it is. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, God's going to do what God's going to do, whether you like it or not. He might just not do it in your life. And that's what we're really talking about. Many simply say no. We talk about Pentecost. We talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want to let you know this morning that it is indeed a baptism for a purpose. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I have it for you up on the screen. You will receive power. Would you say power?
Power.
You will receive. I like that. That's kind of just all in sync. I like that. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And you might hear that and you might come running. You might come running like me. You might come running like Elisha saying, I want a double portion of your spirit. And perhaps you have a call on your life. That perhaps you are called to be a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher or even an apostle. And you need the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. But as we look at Pentecost, Pentecost is for more than pros. Joel says, Prophet Joel says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Men and women, if you know Jesus as your Savior this morning, there is more for you. There's power to live, power to overcome, and power for you to shine for Him. The title of today's message is Power for More. Are we okay? Yeah. All right, we're just going to move right on. We're going to go to the prophet Joel right now. Chapter 2, verses 28 and 29 says, and afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I want you to know that there is power coming to many. Joel was speaking 800 years before Christ of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is no doubt because Peter said this on the day of Pentecost is what the prophet was talking about. There is no doubt. Joel was a contemporary of Elijah and Elisha. These guys, I mean, hey, you got to cross the Jordan, don't worry about it. Whack! Hit it with the cloak. Not even a bridge. We're just walking through on dry ground. Amen? They rose people from the dead, called down fire from heaven. They would call droughts. They would call rain. They would move in the Spirit of God. I mean, we're talking supernatural stuff here. We talk about the school of the prophets referenced at the very beginning. groups of prophets that were in Jericho, as they talk about there, but in different cities, there would be those that would hear from God, those that would speak forth the word of God in a mighty way. Joel would have been very familiar with the Spirit of God moving on a few. And he says there's a time that's coming, a time of change, when God will pour out his Spirit, not on a few, but on many. That your sons will prophesy and your daughters will prophesy. There will be a change that is going to come. And Joel speaks of the power of the Holy Spirit that would be poured out on Pentecost and following. See, power focused on Moses, Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Daniel, all the way to Jesus. But everything going to change with Jesus. Amen? All right, let's keep going here. Look at that. Four verses right there. It's a whole screen of text. Matthew 3:11. I baptize, this is John the Baptist speaking in all four of these verses. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me one will come who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 8. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You see a commonality there. Luke, chapter 3, verse 16. John answered them all. I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John 1:33, I would not have known him except the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. All four Gospels referencing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Generally, God makes an emphasis on something that's important. Can I get a witness on that? There is a change that is coming. Joel talked about that change, and it is Jesus is the one who is going to do it. It is Jesus who is the one who is going to bring about that transformation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John's baptism was, he was a Jew, the greatest of all the prophets, Jesus said, and it was a ministry of preparation for the coming Messiah. Prepare the way. And the Jews were familiar with water baptism, that the water baptism, and even today as we baptize, that we say goodbye to our old life and we are raised to new life. And that Jews, as they were becoming Jews or adherents to Judaism, they would get baptized, leaving their Gentile life behind and stepping into a right relationship with the Lord. They knew. And the message of John the Baptist was, you need to get ready. There is a change that is coming. And when Jesus came, he changed everything. He said, I have come to fulfill the law. He said, I have come that a new covenant might be made in my blood, as Pastor Scott so eloquently put as we celebrated the Lord's table this morning. Jesus came and changed everything. The foundation was laid for the old to be passed and the new to come, and there to be a change in how God dealt with his people. Am I talking too fast for you? I'll tell you what, I was having like a little Holy Ghost revival in my office this morning as I was going over and saying, whoa, whoa. So I'll take a breath. God says, I got something for you. You're going to need it. Joel says, God's got something coming. Bible tells us that it came through Jesus. Jesus says the enemy's going to come at you. They're going to hate you. The world's going to hate you. The world's going to come at you. They hated me. They hate it. They're going to hate you too. But in the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you will have the ability to stand on your feet, to push back the enemy, and to shine a light for me. Amen. And he says, you're going to come and know me as your Savior. There is that second work that I would do in your life that will enable you to stand your ground and to find strength to shine. I'm telling you this morning, I need that baptism. I'll tell you, my wife needs that baptism. We need that power to do what we do. And you say, of course you do. You're pros. Pastor Paul flows in the gifts of the Spirit. You say, of course he does. He's a pro. Pastor Dave, Ann, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Of course. You're all pros. I don't see Monica here. Is Monica here today? How about Monica? You guys know Monica, our daughter's Alicia. She's been helping George clean and cook of late. Comes on Wednesdays. Saw Monica walking down the street, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. Same thing happened to my wife. And I'm driving by, and actually I was in Joe's car, right? And so I'm seeing, hey, there's Monica. And I honked the horn, and she doesn't even look up. You know, and I saw her later. And I said, that was me honking at you. And she says, oh, Pastor Bob, I don't even look up. Somebody honks the horn at me. And she told the same thing to Lisa. Maybe you ladies can relate. Because when you look up and somebody starts honking, there is just foulness and filth that can just assail you in this community. Can I get a witness on that? Now, I'll tell you what. She might not be a pro, but she can use the power of the Holy Ghost to be able to stand and raise her daughter and live her life in the midst of the filth that surrounds us. Can I get a witness on that? You see, Pentecost is for more than pros. Pentecost is for the people of God to be able to live lives of holiness and of strength and to shine as the world would bring an attack against them. Pentecost is for you. Amen? Whew, this is one point. Whew, we got to go. We got to go. All right. All right, maybe you're sitting here thinking, hey, I am already changed. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. He says, you also, he's talking about people having believed. I got it? He says, you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. The accurate representation of the truth of God as conveyed in the Bible, as conveyed by his people. Holy Spirit will guide you into that truth. He says, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, you have indeed been transformed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. If you have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are changed. The Holy Spirit comes in and lives in you, and you are born again. Pastor Scott talked about his rebirth. Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is of the flesh, that you must be born of the Holy Spirit. If you have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you are a new creation in Christ. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you, and you are made new. Amen? Amen? This transformation that you experience is much bigger than the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to get anybody confused today. The biggest thing that can ever happen in your life is you start heading to heaven. Amen? But on your way, you might like a little bit of a turbocharge. That is what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is about, that you can have power so that you can be a witness and live your life shining for him. Amen? So are you born again? Have you surrendered your life to the Lord? Because if you haven't, you can. Now, I'm not going to soft sell it all. Some say it's a free gift of eternal life. Yes, you cannot earn it. But he says, I'll tell you what, you give me your life, I'll give you mine. So you want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I want your life. He says, fine, give me your old one. And some of us kind of balk at that point. Perhaps the Lord is speaking to you right now and saying, you have balked at that point. You offered me your life, I offered you mine, and you took yours back. And that's why you're struggling, and that's why you're stumbling. And he's saying, right here, right now, that's you. That's you. He'll make you a new offer right now. My life for yours. I'll trade you. That's why I hung on the cross. That's why we celebrate communion. We look back on the cross, and we look back at the opportunity to be born again. And if you have not been born again yet, you can say right now, bow your heads with me if you would. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can say, Lord, I took my life back. Forgive me, Lord. I so appreciate the offer of your life for mine. Lord, forgive me for pulling my life back. Here it is, Lord. Here's my life. Will you trade me? And I'll tell you from heaven, God looks down and says, I'll make that trade. If in your heart you are genuine and you have not done that before, you say, Lord, take my life for yours right now. There is an exchange being made in heaven. And the Holy Spirit has come to reside in you. And you are a new creation in him. In Jesus' name. Everyone say it.
Amen.
And your rebirth day is June 1st, 2014. Write it in your Bible. If you don't got a Bible, come and ask me. I'll get you one later. Amen. All right, so the Holy Spirit comes into your life when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ. It happened to the disciples. John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Pretty plain, right? John chapter 20. The disciples have received the Holy Spirit. They are new creations. They are born again. They are headed to heaven, no doubt. Amen? Amen. All right, let's see. Jesus is promising something more. That's what we're taught studying Pentecost for. Acts chapter 1, 4 and 5 and 8 and 9. Bible says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jumping up to verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, note this, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from his sight. Now, this is when Jesus goes to heaven, the ascension, okay, after he walked with them for the 40 days. Now, he is promising them the Holy Spirit, but wait a minute. John chapter 20, he had breathed on them, and they had received the Holy Spirit. I'm confused because they had gone fishing. They had reinstated Peter. There's all of John chapter 21 that is going on. And here we have a promise of something else. A promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit to people who already had the Holy Spirit residing in them. And that is why we call this a second act of grace. A second thing that the Lord Jesus Christ would do in your life, and it is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are you tracking with me? You will receive power. When they already had the Holy Spirit, what they were waiting for is power. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the utter ends of the earth. In the coming weeks, we are going to talk about how that witness goes forth and how the baptism of the Holy Spirit goes forth with the spread of the church. Next week, we're going to talk about Acts chapter 2, which is the day of Pentecost. You will receive power. All four Gospels point to this baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is what Joel was talking about. said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Not just a few. Pentecost is for more than prose. Pentecost is for God's people to live and to stand and to shine. To have impact. Joe and Josh and, is Aaron up here? Aaron's teaching. Joe and Josh, come on up here, will you? We need this microphone.
Yes. Let me talk to the tall one first. Yeah, I know, they're both taller than me.
You were late this morning. Or no, you were not at home this morning. Talking to Mike.
I was early to church, by the way.
He was early to church. You made a little stop on the way to church this morning?
Yes.
And what did you do?
I went surfing.
He went surfing this morning. He said he was going to enjoy God's creation. Kind of put a theological kind of spin on it. And how did you catch any waves?
Yes.
You caught waves? Just keep it up there.
There were dolphins, so creation. Wow.
All right, now, you've been surfing for a couple of months, right?
Yes.
Now, if there was an anointing from God that would turn you into an incredibly better surfer, is that something you'd go for?
Yes.
All right. Now, Josh, come on over here. You didn't go anywhere this morning, did you?
No, I was sleeping.
You were sleeping? sleeping just in the presence of the Lord. Yes. You've not been serving of late, but you've been putting a lot of time in on quarterbacking.
Yes.
Yes, you've gone to combines, hope to play next year at college someplace, right?
That would be nice.
That would be nice. And if there was an anointing that was available for you from the Lord to be twice as good a quarterback, would you be interested in that?
Yes.
All right. That's all I need. All right, a little round of applause for our... I was going to have Erin come up, too. She's a track star. Now, you see, there is very little reluctance saying, hey, if I can surf better, bring it on. If I can be a better quarterback, bring it on. And the question is, if there's an opportunity for you to be a better Christian, are you looking to bring it on? Or are you like, oh, I don't know about that whole that supernatural stuff, man. It just kind of freaks me out a little bit. Because really, I don't trust God all that much. Oh, let's just keep going then. All right, here we go. Point number three. This is Jesus talking. And basically, he's saying, you can trust Dad. Dad's not going to rip you off. Dad's not going to leave you behind. This is Jesus talking, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. I'm sorry, gentlemen, I don't know that there's an anointing for surfing or an anointing for quarterbacking. But I do know that there is an anointing for living. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus is talking about his believers asking his Father in heaven for the Holy Spirit. Not something you got to ask for when you get saved. Automatically, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. He is talking about this thing that the Lord does next in the life of the believer. Get a new heart, then get some power. Power to stand and power to shine. And Jesus says, Dad's not going to play a trick on you. You can trust him. Even our own fathers are trying to be good. And if they're doing good, our Father in heaven is going to do better. I think he says that because we can become a little hesitant when we start talking about the supernatural. I don't know. Don't know if it's really for us. Don't know if I'm really comfortable with it. God, Jesus is saying, you can trust that. He's saying more than that. He says, get in line. Ask. Ask and ask and ask. You'll get it. Seek. Look, look, look. You'll find it. Knock. He'll open the door to you. So what are you looking for in your life? What do you want in your life? I'm sorry, asking for the baptism. We're almost done. I hope in your heart you have a desire to be transformed by the Spirit of God. I hope in your heart you feel that you have the opportunity to approach God and ask Him for a transformation. I'm going to end this, and I know I got some little kids back here kind of doing some things. If you've got a kid, take them in the back room, okay? You don't have to turn here. I'll just read it to you. This is Solomon talking with God. That night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Can we quiet that child? I mean, it's not that tough. What? No, it's not. I mean, it's Alex sitting right there. Solomon answered God, you have shown great kindness to David my father and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed. For you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I might lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? And God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth or riches or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore knowledge and wisdom will be given you, and I'll also give you wealth and riches and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will ever have. Leanne, you can come up and play. Solomon asked God for wisdom, and he got a double portion. Samson asked God for strength. The end of his life, they had blinded him. He said, Lord, give me strength, Lord, to avenge my eyes. Moses said, God, how can I truly believe you? How can I know that it's you speaking to me? Elisha called down heaven, fire from heaven, as a display against the prophets of Baal. King Hezekiah, whose body was dying, said, oh Lord, heal my body. And Peter, sitting in the boat, said, Jesus, if it's really you, Jesus, call me up out of this boat that I might come to you. 11 other disciples sat, and Peter walked on water. Pentecost 2014. You going to sit or are you going to stand? You going to find power to shine or you just want to be the way it's always been? God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Will you ask? Will you knock? Will you see? And as we come to Pentecost, there we go. Find power. What do you want? Are you truly wanting to shine? Perhaps you know the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's ask you to just pray. Perhaps this is a new thing for you. Perhaps as I spoke of Monica and the vileness and the filth that surrounds her as she walks the street to and from, taking her child to school, coming to and fro from church, she say, yes, I walk through that same filth. Lord, if you would empower me, I would shine for you. I would stand for you. Maybe the Lord is saying, this is for you. Just right where you're at. You say, oh Lord. Lord, I am asking. Lord, I am seeking. Lord, I am knocking. Lord, I am knocking on your door saying, pour out your Spirit upon me. Lord, I am seeking your baptism, Lord. I am seeking the power of your Spirit, the presence of your Spirit, that I might live a life on display. If you seek a genuine work of God in your life, you're praying right now. You got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're just praying right now. But you just seek that baptism. Peter said, call me out of the boat. And he stood. You want the baptism. I just invite you to just stand where you're at. Stand where you're at and just raise your hand and say, Lord, right here. Right here, Lord. I'm just surrounded. I got stuff all around me. Lord, I need that power. I need that strength. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, from heaven, Lord, you just look down and see my hands raised up to you. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit come and baptize me. You're here this morning. You're saying in your heart, Peter said, call me out of the boat. You want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Saying, Lord, whatever you have for me, whatever strength that you have for me, I want to know the power of your baptism, the power of your resurrection. I invite you to just stand right where you're at. Raise your hands and to begin to pray to our Father in heaven. Say, Lord, baptize me, your son. Baptize me, your daughter. Sitting ain't going to do it, folks. You want the baptism. I see two guys in the back standing. I can't imagine everybody else has got the baptism or nobody else wants it. It will take enough effort on your part, actually. I don't want to belittle you or nothing, but it's going to take a whole lot more effort than just standing to your feet. But if you can't even stand, I don't know how hard you're knocking. I don't know how hard you're seeking. And I know how hard you want it. Hallelujah. There you go. Want the baptism, you got to stand. Worship team is going to come. I would like to pray for you. I would like to pray for you to receive this baptism. The coming weeks, you continue this prayer. I'm not going to shake you or do anything weird to you. I'm going to pray for you that the Lord would do a work. We're going to sing this song, Holy Spirit, Rain Down. You want the Holy Spirit to rain down in your life, I just invite you to just come up here. Just stand right up here, and I want to anoint you with oil.